Well, hey everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. And I just want to start out by thanking you for spending part of your day with us. And if you're blessed during our time together today, let me invite you to come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You can worship with us live on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live. Or if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, we would love to have you come and join us in person. But with that, let's get right into this episode's sermon. A couple of years ago, the folks over at Netflix released a movie called Yesterday. Now, in case you haven't seen this movie, it's a movie about Allison and Carlos Torres and their three kids, Katie, Nando, and Ellie. And when Allison and her husband Carlos first meet, they're an outgoing, adventurous kind of couple who say yes to just about every opportunity that comes their way. But when they start having kids of their own, Allison and Carlos turn into those stereotypical strict parents who tell their kids no to just about everything that they want to do because they're trying to protect their kids. Now, as you can probably imagine, that didn't go over real well with the Torres children. So one day when Allison and Carlos have to show up for a parent-teacher conference at their kid's school, they find out that their kids think that they're nothing more than dictators. And it's at this point in the movie that the school's guidance counselor offers Allison and Carlos Torres a little, well, guidance. The guidance counselor suggests that they consider having a yes day for their kids every once in a while. But what exactly is a yes day? Well, it's a day when parents agree to say yes to anything that their kids ask them to do, as long as their kids don't ask them to do anything that is illegal or could possibly hurt them or someone else. Now, I want to pause here for just a second, because I want you to think about what you would have asked your parents to do when you were a kid if they gave you a yes day at some point along the way. Maybe if your parents gave you a yes day, you would have asked them if you could have eaten candy for breakfast. Or maybe you would have asked your parents to take you to an R-rated movie, which isn't illegal as long as you're accompanied by somebody who's over the age of 17. Or maybe you would have asked your parents to take you to a toy store so that you could pick out an item that you had always wanted. Well, these are the kind of thoughts that would have been running through the Torres children's minds as their yes day approached. And when their yes day finally happened, they kicked the day off with the youngest daughter, Ellie, asking her parents to wear whatever outfit it was that she picked out for them that day. Some of y'all are already smiling because you can just imagine the possibilities of having your youngest kid pick out the clothes you're going to wear for an entire day. So, of course, this means that Carlos ends up spending a good chunk of the movie wearing face paint and a cape and rocking a mohawk. And it means that Allison spends a fair chunk of the movie wearing a pink tutu with more ribbon in her hair than I had sitting underneath my Christmas tree last year. From there, the Torres kids drag their parents to a local ice cream parlor to take part in an eating challenge. So what they do is they order a sundae that would ordinarily cost $40. But if the entire family can eat it in less than half an hour, the sundae is free. And the Torres family manages to do that. And to clean up afterwards, the kids ask if they can go through the car wash with the windows down. Now, that's the point where I would have said no, because I just got a brand new car, and I don't want to do anything to ruin my car anytime soon. But the Torres parents went along with it. So the movie kept going on. The family would end up having a water balloon fight where all the water balloons were filled with Kool-Aid. And then ultimately they went to an amusement park and a rock concert. And of course the movie had to finish up by having a giant party at the Torres family's house. So Torres family's yes day was basically everything that you would expect a yes day to be. It was chaotic and it was messy, but it was also a whole lot of fun. But no matter how much fun they had during this yes day, the point of this movie isn't to try to convince parents everywhere that we shouldn't say no to our kids as frequently as we do. And the point of this movie wasn't to convince or persuade parents to say yes whenever our kids ask to do something new. The entire point of the movie was to show us all that there are times in life when we need to say yes, but there are also times in life when we're going to need to say no. Obviously, if you're a parent, you have had plenty of opportunities to practice saying no throughout your kid's life. I actually remember one Sunday that happened several years back when our daughter was still going to the nursery here at church.
And on this particular Sunday when the service wrapped up and Ashley and I went to pick her up from the nursery, the person who was volunteering in the nursery that day came to us and they said, I felt so bad today because I had to tell the pastor's daughter no. And just as a side note, this is why preachers' kids get bad reputations, okay? It's not because parents don't tell them no, it's because the church doesn't help out in that matter. But after they said this, I looked this person dead in the eye and I said, my daughter is 2 years old. There are some days where the only word that I say to her is no. Now, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but if you've ever had a two-year-old, you know it's not that much of an exaggeration. So yes, if you're a parent, you've had plenty of practice telling your kids no. But the problem that a lot of us have is that we struggle to say no to anyone else in our lives. So when our boss asks us if we can come in early to work or stay late at work, we tell them yes. When our kid's school calls up and asks if we can help chaperone a field trip, we tell them yes. When a telemarketer calls up and asks us if we want to refinance our student loans, we're really tempted to tell them yes, even if we never took out student loans. And the more we say yes, the busier we get. The more we say yes, the quicker our calendar fills. The more we say yes, the more overbooked we feel like our lives are. And just about all of us feel like our lives are overbooked. Just about all of us feel like our lives are overbooked. And we talked about this last week, but it's worth repeating again today. Even though we may never think about it, our chronic busyness, the fact that our lives are always overbooked, it takes a toll on our health, whether we realize it or not. Research tells us that being constantly busy leads to chronic stress, and chronic stress has been linked to a whole host of health issues, ranging from anxiety to depression all the way to heart disease. Research also tells us that constantly being busy has been linked to a decline in our cognitive abilities, as well as it causes a deterioration in the quality of our relationship with other people. So the fact that we're so busy, the fact that this busyness is having an impact on our health, it's not a good thing. So something's got to give here. There has to be a way that we can stop trying to cram so much into our lives so that we can live the best quality life as possible. Well, that's what we've been talking about over the last few weeks here at Melbourne Heights as we've been working our way through this series of sermons called Overbooked. The point of this whole series is to help us find ways that we can slow down and clear our calendars and make time for the things that matter the most to us. And if part of the reason why we're all so busy, if part of the reason why our lives feel like they're constantly overbooked is because we struggle to say no, then if we want to be able to slow down, if we want to be able to clear our calendars, if we want to be able to make time for the things that matter the most, then we need to learn how to say no. Or to put it another way for you, if we don't want to be so busy, we have to set boundaries. If we don't want to be so busy, we have to learn how to set boundaries. And we're going to see a great example of setting boundaries in the scripture passage that I want us to take a closer look at today. So if you've got a Bible close by or a Bible app on your phone, go ahead and open it up to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, and as you're finding the book of Acts, I'm just going to tell you a little bit more about this book. We find the book of Acts in the New Testament, and there are essentially two kinds of books that we find in the New Testament. We have books that tell us the good news of Jesus, or we have books that help us understand how our faith grew and matured and spread in the decades after Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. And the book of Acts is the second kind of book. The book of Acts is essentially a history book that tells us about how our faith in Jesus grew and spread across the Roman Empire in the decades after Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. And the story that we're going to be looking at today that takes place in Acts chapter 6 happens at a crucial time in the history of our faith. And this event that we're going to read about today is actually a turning point in the life of the church. So what we need to understand here is that in the first five chapters in the book of Acts, that the church has been growing rapidly. It's been growing rapidly, and it's been growing really quickly. In Acts chapter 1, verse 41, we're told that in a single day, more than 3,000 people came to have faith and commit their lives to following Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 47, we're told that the Lord was adding daily to the number in the community those who were being saved. And because the church was growing so quickly, so rapidly, and so large, that meant that there were more and more people inside of the church who needed to be ministered to, more and more people inside of the church that needed to be served. But unfortunately, there were some people in the early church that were being overlooked. So let's take a look at Acts chapter 6 together, and let's see what exactly was going on as the story begins. We're to start reading in verse 1, and here's what it says. It says, "About that time, while the number of disciples continued to increase, a complaint arose. Greek-speaking disciples accused Aramaic-speaking disciples because their widows were being overlooked in the daily food service. The 12 called a meeting of all the disciples." We're going to pause right here in the story. But as we can see in the verses that we just read, as the early church is growing, the leaders in the early church, and the leaders in the early church were Jesus' first followers, his closest friends. They were the 12 disciples, and they wanted to make sure that everyone who was in need in the early church was being taken care of. But this complaint arises, and they find out that there are some people in the church who have been overlooked. And clearly, nobody wants anyone to be overlooked in the church. We want everyone who has a need in the church to be ministered to and served. So they have to do something about this problem. So the 12 disciples call a meeting of what the book of Acts refers to as all the disciples. And what that means is everyone who is part of the church, because everyone who follows Jesus, including us today, are disciples. The word disciple basically means student, and we are all students of Jesus learning to live from him. But like I said just a second ago, this all happens at a really critical point. This story is critical to the history of our faith. This story is a turning point in the life of the church. Because when the disciples call this meeting, they're going to be tempted to do what a lot of us do whenever we face an important issue that needs to be fixed. A lot of us believe that if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. So the disciples are going to be tempted to say, okay, there are people in our midst right now who aren't being fed. Their needs are being overlooked by the church. So the easiest thing for us to do is to take over the daily distribution of food for ourselves so that we can make sure that this important issue is taken care of. But if the disciples did that, if the disciples took over the daily distribution of food for themselves, then they wouldn't have had time to do anything else. The church was growing so fast and so large that if the disciples were the ones in charge of the daily distribution of food, they would have spent all day every day serving up food and then bussing the tables afterwards. But as we keep reading in Acts chapter 6, we're going to see that that's not what the disciples decide to do. So let's pick back up in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, and let's see what the disciples did. Acts 6, verse 2, here's what we're told. Says the 12 called a meeting of all the disciples and said, "It isn't right for us to set aside proclamation of God's word in order to serve tables. Brothers and sisters, carefully choose 7 well-respected men from among you. They must be well-respected and endowed by the Spirit with exceptional wisdom. We will put them in charge of this concern. As for us, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the service of proclaiming the word." So in this meeting with the entire church, the 12 disciples essentially say to the entire church, "Listen, y'all." And yeah, that means that the disciples must have been Southern because they said y'all. But the disciples said, "Listen, y'all, we only have so much time in our lives. So yes, if we have to, we can take over the daily distribution of food to make sure that everyone in need in the church is being taken care of. But that doesn't seem right to us. Because even though the church is growing by leaps and by bounds right now, there's still plenty of people all around the world who need to hear the good news of Jesus. And we were the ones who who were there with Jesus. We were the ones who lived with Jesus, who followed Jesus, who learned at his feet for 3 years. And we're the ones that Jesus called to go out and tell people about him. So we're the ones who need to go out and share the good news of Jesus with others, and that's what we want to spend our time doing. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to set a boundary. We're going to set a boundary, and we're going to tell you that we are going to spend our time going out and sharing the good news of Jesus, that we're not going to be the ones who oversee the daily distribution of food. Now, this doesn't mean that the daily distribution of food is not important. It is important for us to minister to and to serve the needs of everyone inside of the church. But you already have people in your midst who are capable, who are qualified, who are competent, who can oversee this work. So what we want you to do is to pick out a group of people from amongst yourselves that you will put in charge of this daily distribution of food. And then we can make sure that everyone's needs inside of the church are taken care of, while we as the 12 disciples continue to do the work that God has called us to do. And the early church says yes. The early church agrees to what the disciples asked them to do, instead of looking at them and saying, listen, guys, y'all are the disciples. You are our leaders, you're our pastors, and as the pastors inside of this church, we expect you to do everything, from setting the table to serving the food to sharing the good news of Jesus. But that's not what they do. They say, we're going to listen to you, we're going to respect this boundary that you set, and we're going to choose a group from amongst ourselves to oversee this distribution of food. And this is, historically speaking, where the role of deacon that we still have inside of the church today originates. The word deacon literally means table servant, and it refers to these people whose first task and responsibility in the church was to oversee the distribution of food by serving at the table and then cleaning up afterwards. Now, I've told you a couple times in this message already that this is a critical moment in the history of our faith, that this is a turning point in the life of the church. But this isn't a critical moment in the history of our faith, and this isn't a turning point in the life of the church simply because this story creates the role of deacon. No, this is a critical moment in the history of our faith. This is a turning point in the life of the church because if the early church had gone the other direction, if the early church had said no, You as the disciples, as Jesus' first followers, need to be in charge of everything, then the church would have died with them. The 12 disciples would have been so busy taking care of the daily needs of everyone who was part of that church. They would have been so busy serving at the table, cleaning up afterwards, they wouldn't have had time to go out and share the good news of Jesus anyone else. And that means that you and I, whether you're here in this room with me right now or on the other side of an internet connection, we wouldn't be worshiping God right now because we never would have heard the good news of Jesus. But that doesn't happen because the disciples were willing to set boundaries. The disciples were able to look at their lives and say, we know that we have a limited amount of time. And because we have a limited amount of time, there is a limit to the things that we are going to be able to do. So we want to use the time that we have to do the right things, to do the things that matter the most to us, to do the things that God has called us to do. And this is why all of us need to set boundaries in our lives, because we only have so much time, and that means that there's only so many things that we are going to be able to do. So we need to make sure that we use the time that we have to do the right things, to do the things that matter the most to us, to do the things that God has called us to do. But a problem that we often have is that we don't like to admit that we have a limited amount of time. We don't like to admit that we're mortal and our days on earth will eventually come to an end. And because we don't want to admit that we have a limited amount of time, we don't want to accept the fact that there's only so many things that we're going to be able to do. So a lot of us want to continue to believe the same thing that that college student that we talked about at the beginning of this sermon series a couple of weeks ago believed. We want to believe that no matter how full our lives may seem, that we can always fit a little bit more into them. But that's not the case. It's not the case. There's only so much that you're ever going to be able to do in your life. And until you can start saying no to some things, you're never going to be able to say yes to the things that really matter to you. And that's what setting boundaries is all about. Setting boundaries isn't about saying no to things just so you can keep your schedule clear. No, setting boundaries is about saying yes to the things that you really want to do. Setting boundaries is about saying yes to the things that you really want to do. But you can't say yes to the things you really want to do if you don't say no to the stuff that you don't need to spend all of your time on. So what we need to do, what you need to do if you want to be able to start setting some boundaries inside of your life, the first thing that you need to do is you need to start thinking about what those things are that matter the most to you. What those things are that you want to spend the time that you have on. What those things are in your life that you want to be able to say yes to. So let me just ask you, what matters to you? What do you want to be able to spend your time on? What do you wish you could say yes to in your life? Maybe for you, what you want to do is you want to be able to enjoy dinner around the dining room table in your house with your family at least a couple of times a week instead of always having to pick something up through the drive-thru as you're running to different extracurricular activities. Or maybe for you, what you want to be able to do is enjoy a nice long vacation from work or at the very least unplug from work when you get home at the end of the day without having to think about any of your work responsibilities. Maybe what you want to be able to do is to go out on Saturday mornings and watch your grandkids play soccer a little bit more often. Or maybe what you want to be able to do is make it to church in person more frequently. But think about those things that you want to be able to do with your time, those things that really matter to you, those things that you want to be able to say yes to. And as you're thinking about that, you also need to think about what you need to say no to right now so that you can say yes to the things that you really want to do. So, if you want to be able to sit down at your dining room table and enjoy a dinner with your family at least a few times a week, that may mean that you have to say no the next time that your kid asks you if they can join another club or sign up for another sports team. If you want to be able to unplug from work at the end of the day or take a nice long vacation without having to think about your work responsibilities, you might have to do things like tell your coworkers no every once in a while when they ask you to go out to lunch so that you can spend a little more time getting a little more work taken care of. If you want to be able to get up early on Saturday mornings to watch your grandkids play soccer or to get up early on Sunday mornings to come to in-person worship service, that might mean that you have to say no to staying up or staying out late on Friday and Saturday nights so that you can get the rest you need to get up early on Saturday or Sunday mornings. But until you can learn to start saying no and setting boundaries, your life is never going to be what you want it to be. And your life is never going to be what God wants for it to be. Until you learn to say no and to set boundaries, your life is always going to feel like it's overbooked. So let me encourage you, let me challenge you to spend some time thinking about what it is that you want to say yes to in life and what it is that you need to start saying no to in your life. Because the reality is, there are only so many things that any of us will ever be able to say yes to. So what we all need to do is make sure that our yeses count. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this word of prayer, you know how busy all of our lives are. You know that there are things that are happening in the lives of people inside of this church, people that are worshiping with us right now, that I can't even begin to imagine, God, with all the responsibilities and just things that fall onto their calendars. God, you know how hard it is for us to say no when somebody asks us to help, to do something for them. But God, until all of us can start learning to say no to things that aren't so important to us, until we can learn to start setting these boundaries, God, we're not going to have room in our lives for the things that matter the most to us. So God, my prayer is that you start opening our eyes so that we can see those areas and those things that come up in our lives that we need to be willing to say no to, the boundaries that we need to set in our lives so that we can say yes to the things that we really want to do, say yes to the things that matter the most to us, say yes to the things that you want us to do. Because God, you want our lives to be abundant. You want our lives to be filled with things that give us life. So God, help us to say yes to those things. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast, and I hope that you've been blessed during our time together. And if that's happened, once again, I want to invite you to come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You can do that by joining us on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live, or if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, you can also worship with us in person. And that's going to do it for this episode of our sermon podcast, but I want to invite you to come back and join us again when our next episode drops next week. But until then, I'll be praying for you. I hope that you have a great week, and we'll see you back here soon for another sermon podcast.